Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. The Daily Cross in Prayer. This is an excerpt, a chapter from the book, I Die Daily, available on Amazon and the store page at safeguardyoursoul.com. So, the Daily Cross in Prayer. Prayer is inseparably connected with knowing God. In fact, in its simplest definition, isn't prayer simply communication with God? Yes, and that's why we were created. John 17:3, Jesus said as he prayed to the Father, "This is life eternal." This is the whole reason for it. Here it is. "That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Now, friends, I want you to memorize those words of our Lord and Savior there in John 17:3. The whole reason why you were created by God is so that you could know him. It's all about relationship, not religion. Psalm 5:3, the psalmist sure understood this relationship and the reason and central divine purpose for which he and we were created. Notice Psalm 5:3, the psalmist declared, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord." In the morning, he says it again, "will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." Amen. Psalm 5:3. He declared that every morning he was going to get up and seek the face of the living God. Let's isolate for just a moment, friends, and dismantle these words that were inspired by the Lord in the psalmist. Under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David says to the Lord that he, God, would hear his, David's, voice, and also that in the morning the psalmist would arise and seek God in prayer. And finally, deliberately in the morning, David would direct his prayer and praying and communion with God to the Lord. "In the morning, I will look up," he said. So from this passage, Psalm 5:3, we see that David planned and scheduled in an intentional and calculated, deliberate fashion to meet with the Lord every morning. The phrase "in the morning" appears twice in this inspired transmission of the Holy Ghost. The man whose heart panted after the Lord to behold his precious beauty declared that he would direct or point his prayer upward to the Lord in the morning, or every morning. So communing with the Lord was priority to David and therefore occupied first place in his daily life. He put God first, not himself. He sought the Lord firstly as he arose from sleep and before he went forth into his day. David put the Lord first in his life and therefore in his day or days. Jesus commanded that if any person will come after him, that is, truly follow him, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. Luke 9:23-24. So there is no place that the cross applies more than in daily prayer. The moment one arises, he will choose either to seek God or to dwell upon self-sentiments and or other worldly things. He will seek Christ Christ, or he will seek his own salvation or rescue from his troubles. We all make a daily choice. Notice Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24:15. So no different from those covenant saints the Lord spoke to in this important passage. Those whom we dwell among are serving self, the flesh. And yet we are called upon by the Lord to choose to daily serve him rather than self, to put him first and not ourselves. We are called to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Philippians 2:15-16, the Lord is calling us to purposely declare him as the Lord and master of our lives, and this we do by making the premeditated decision to seek him daily in prayer communion. Like Joshua, the way we choose to serve God must be premeditated, deliberate, daily, and in practicality. Daily, early morning, first fruit prayer is all three of these. Daily, early morning, first fruit prayer contains all of these three elements. It is the fruit of the crucified life, the life that is dead to self and in whom Christ dwells and reigns. Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. To those who seek God and not their own devices, there are many benefits. Psalm 68:19 informs us that God gives many blessings, untold blessings, to those who seek his face. Notice Psalm 68:19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us up with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Selah. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." That simply means humble request. "With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:6-7. The precious peace of the Prince of Peace rules and reigns and makes sound the hearts of those who deny self's ability to overcome and solve issues and problems, and instead they earnestly and diligently rely upon God's power to do such for them. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Isaiah 26:3-4. As we fix our whole being upon Jesus Christ, our thoughts will be upward to his glorious high throne, which is the place of our sanctuary, according to Jeremiah 17:12, which says, "A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary." Jeremiah 17:12. God is calling each of his saints to give his whole being to Christ, and to those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, we are to think on these things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. So, according to Philippians 4, verse 6 through 8, saints are to rely upon the Lord and not self for submitting all their requests in prayer to the Lord, who is their source and those things that are praiseworthy. It is upon these things that we are instructed to think upon. Philippians 4 verse 8. God's thoughts are infinitely higher than ours, saints, and yet it is not until we become truly crucified with Christ that we are going to be ruled by his thoughts and peace. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In the world around us, we can behold that changing the way one thinks is being done by millions of people who are not regenerated. They're not born again. New Age and religious teachers hold this thought transformation teaching closely. Anyone can change the way they think, though, for self-serving reasons, to stop smoking or to visualize in order to earn more money, to have more self-esteem, etc. However, hell still awaits all who are not born again, and that takes facing the living God and judge of our eternal souls in repentance for sin and placing all faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior, for salvation. The only renewing of the mind and thoughts that brings glory to Jesus Christ is that which begins with one casting his whole being upon the Lord afresh, presenting himself a living sacrifice unto God. In fact, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body's a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Those who are presenting their bodies to the Lord as living sacrifices are infused and enabled by his grace to keep their minds or thoughts stayed or fixed upon the Lord and not self or circumstances as they look for Jesus' soon return. They trust in Christ and not their own strength, not their own reasoning, whims, philosophies, or wisdom, as they give themselves over to Christ and his infinite divine power and become weak in self and self's abilities. Jesus's power raises them upward to trust him and rely upon him alone, to rest the weight of their whole beings in him who is able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Ephesians 3:20 tells us, disciples of Jesus first declare that they are not able, they admit their own poverty, in other words, and that only, quote, God is able, unquote, as we read in Ephesians 3:20. These are they who have and are finding out in a personal way that there really is nothing impossible with the Lord. In fact, I taught my son a verse when he was a very young boy in order to instill the hope of Christ in him from a very young age. Here it is, Mark 10:27. It says, and Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Abraham trusted God. He is our human example of a man who walked with God by faith, believing that God would raise up that to which he died. Concerning the promise of a son being born to him and his aged wife, the Bible records these following words from the Lord to his servant Abraham. In Genesis 18:14, the scripture says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? God asked Abraham, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son, unquote, Genesis 18:14. If God can and will split the Red Sea for his people and cause a 100-year-old man and his 90-year-old wife to have a child, what in your life can't he do? Here's yet another question posed to our hearts from the Lord. Jeremiah 32:27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Now we have to ask ourselves that. Is there anything too hard for God? Of course not. Do we trust him? That's the question. Where is your faith? Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 verse 25, God requires that we die to self-will, self-help, and self-esteem and lay our lives in his holy, perfect, and more than sufficient hands. He can then work in us and in our lives, raising up his holy standard and power to glorify himself in and through his children. Nothing will be impossible for the Lord to perform in the lives of those who deny themselves and, like Abraham, trust God to raise up his solutions, answers, and blessings to bring himself, that is, the Lord, glory. Romans 4:17 says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth," or makes alive, "the dead, and calleth those things," that is, God, "calleth those things which be not as though they were." Romans 4:17. God called forth Isaac out of Abraham's loins when it was an otherwise impossibility in the natural. In your life, beloved, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Genesis 18:14. Our connection with God is all about relationship, and the quality of that relationship is exemplified in our prayer lives, or lack thereof. If a person is pursuing the Lord, seeking the face of God, he has a prayer life, or better yet, a life of prayer. This person, this disciple, lays down his own desires in life and seeks God's life. This and God's will. This is perhaps in no other scrutiny seen more clearly than in the value he assigns to his prayer life and the heart affections and time he is willing to invest in that communion with the Lord. In Psalm 63, the psalmist captures the life of the person who truly has a heart after God. Notice Psalm 63 verses 1 through 8 says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hand in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me," unquote. Amen. Psalm chapter 63. The following is an excerpt from the book titled My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. He said this, he said, "At that day ye shall ask in my name." He quotes John 16:26. "We are too much given," he says, "to thinking of the cross as something we have to get through. We get through it only in order to get into it. The cross stands for one thing only for us, a complete and entire and absolute identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is nothing in which this identification is realized more than in prayer. Oswald continues. He continues, "Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask," Jesus said. "Then why ask?" The idea of prayer is not in order to get answers from God. Prayer is perfect and complete oneness with God. If we pray because we want answers, we will get huffed or frustrated with God. The answers come every time, but not always in the way we expect, and our spiritual huff or frustration shows a refusal to identify ourselves and our Lord with our Lord in prayer. We are not here to prove God answers prayer. We are here to be living monuments of His grace. He continues by quoting Jesus, "I say not that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father Himself loveth you," unquote. Have you reached such an intimacy with God that the Lord Jesus Christ's life of prayer is the only explanation of your life of prayer? Has our Lord's vicarious life become your vital life? At that day, you will be so identified with Jesus that there will be no distinction. He finishes by saying, "When prayer seems to be unanswered, beware of trying to fix the blame on someone else. That is always a snare of Satan. You will find there is a reason which is a deep instruction to you and not to anyone else." Unquote. Let us pray, saints. Dear Heavenly Father, please bless this life to honor you and your will first and foremost in this life that you have granted by my being authentically crucified with Christ. Please unite my heart to fear your name and to number with wisdom this short time on your earth as a gift from you. I love you, Lord Jesus, and thank you for dying for my sins and for the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost that you placed in your people upon saving us and filling us with your Spirit. You must increase, but I must decrease. This moment, if never before, I declare and deliberately decide to place you first in each and every one of the remaining days of my life. I am crucified with Christ. Early will I seek thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.